welcome everybody on a Tuesday. Draft Talk with Tony Brasky is underway with yours truly. It's great to have you when you're on the show this week. Joining me today, I've got most of the crew with me. Eli's not here yet, but he will be here later on in the show. While we wait for him, everyone else is here. Mike Bilica, Jay Horn, Grant Richards, and Tyler Sawa. Gentlemen, we have a big show today. Lots and lots of football to talk about. So let's get right into it. Let's start with the introductions as per the usual. Mike Bilica, you're first. How are you today? How's school and work going for you?
Been good, but there's one thing I'm excited for tonight. It's Raiders football.
Oh yeah, we are recording on a Monday night. I mean, I don't want to go too much into the Raiders game because it will mean absolutely nothing. By the time this comes out, the game will be over. But yeah, we're recording on Monday night at 7:30, and the game is less than an hour from now, so we are highly anticipating the Allegiant Stadium debut with fans in the first Vegas Raiders game of the year. Mike is fired up, and Grant, he told us he's shaking. But we'll get to Grant later on in the show. So, Mike, you're doing good?
I'm doing great. I'm excited.
Yes, sir. All right, let's go to Jay Horn now. How are you today, Jay?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good.
You got a new internship. How's that going?
It's pretty cool. Nothing too crazy. I had my first game. I got to, shoot with the camera and everything and record on Friday at Lake Orion. So that's kind of cool.
A football game?
Yeah, football. They're playing Oxford.
So. Oxford. All right. Good to hear. I want to save Grant for last. So let's move on to Tyler. How are you today, Tyler Sawa?
I'm doing great. Ready for some football tonight. This weekend was phenomenal. Great college weekend.
Yes.
Michigan football. Oh my God, that was amazing. This Saturday.
Hey, we'll talk about that later on in the show. Don't worry.
Just a great weekend, man. College football and week two and NFL back into action. It was just a great week, man. Great week.
I did nothing but sit on my butt all weekend and watch football. Whether that be college football on a Saturday and then the NFL on Sunday.
If you're not doing that during the fall and winter, like, you're just not doing weekends right at that point. The cider mill, that's great and all. Do that on the weekdays. Weekends are for football, man.
Weekends are for football, baby. Saturdays are for college football. Sundays are for the NFL. And it was such a good weekend. I won a lot of money this weekend, too. With that, Grant Richards, how are you today? And as always, Mike.
How was the sports betting this weekend?
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ching, ching.
All right. This was the longest day of my life. It felt like sitting at work, I'd work for an hour and it would be 5 minutes past. I've been waiting all day for Monday night. Just incredible. I'm just ready. I don't know what else to say. I'm very ready for this game.
Hello, everybody. This is Tony in post-production. This is after the main podcast has been recorded with all the rest of the guys. It is me and Grant Richards together. It is a couple minutes past midnight right now, and the game just ended. So this is a first for us. We are doing an instant reaction for Trash Talk. Grant, you're the Raiders fan, man. Let's go. This is all for you, man.
Oh my God, what a game to kick off Allegiant Stadium in Vegas. Oh my God, dude. And like, my first thought when Zay Jones crossed the end zone was, I'm coming at Tyler. Like, I'm letting Tyler know.
Oh, you got receipts.
He's been doubting, dude. I got receipts. He has been doubting the Raiders. And I bet he's asleep right now. And I bet he went to sleep thinking the Raiders lost. And he's going to wake up and he's going to be like, wow, I missed a great game. Wow, maybe the Raiders are legit. Maybe I've been saying that all along.
Man, that was an incredible, incredible football game. That was so much fun to watch. I got to give it to the Vegas Raiders, man. They shut me up. They shut me up. I don't know about Tyler, but they at least shut me up for the first game of the season, man. Oh, Jay is here.
I just came to say what's up, man. Yeah, I just came to say hi. I'm about to go back to eating my food.
But listen, man, that was an incredible, incredible football game. The defense, I'll start with them, Grant. They played a lot better in this football game than I honestly anticipated coming into this game in the season for Vegas. I mean, especially in the pass rush, Yannick Ngakoue, Max Crosby, the Eastern Michigan guy, and Carl Nassib. My goodness, all three of them were fantastic today. Nassib especially made that humongous play in overtime to get the ball back and eventually set up the game-winning touchdown. Your defense did a lot better than expected today. I thought they did a good job against Lamar in this Baltimore Ravens offense. Nice job from the defense. Gus Bradley, you've been talking about Gus Bradley, man. He came through. And then offensively, I was super impressed with the offense today. They started off a little slow. They definitely started off a little slow, but to end the fourth quarter, they had like two straight touchdowns and a field goal, and then just all hell broke loose in overtime. We thought Vegas walked it off. Everyone was celebrating on the field. The Legion Stadium was going nuts, but the game was not over. And then Alex Leatherwood, who him and the entire offense period just could not stop committing penalties. It was outrageous. Alex Leatherwood gets a penalty. That really screws you over. And then Derek Carr throws that really funky, weird interception that went through a receiver's hands. It bounced off someone's helmet and went into the arms of Baltimore. I'm like, oh my goodness, what are we doing here? And then he got the ball back, walked it off with a touchdown. That was fun, and I was impressed. I was really impressed. It wasn't perfect by any means. So there were a lot of plays today, whether it be offensively, defensively, special teams. I don't know what Daniel Carlson was doing on the field in overtime. It might not have been pretty. You got to clean up the penalties, but man, I love NFL football, Grant. I absolutely love it.
It is truly incredible. I mean, it was a great week for, I mean, almost, a lot of games ended up being very close or just absolute throttlings, but whatever. It was a great week. Oh my God, what a way to end it, dude. I think that running out Daniel Carlson onto the field in overtime, taking the delay of game, and then throwing a deep ball, everyone thought they were just going to try and get the 5 yards back.
Right.
And they just lob it up to Zay Jones. I've been tough on Gruden, but if that was at his hands, that was an immaculate play call. I'm going to pretend like he did all that on purpose. I'm going to pretend. Because that worked out to perfection. That's the Gruden we need 24/7.
Grant, how much sleep are you going to get tonight?
None. No chance. My heart's still... I wish I had a Fitbit or something.
What was going through your head in overtime? What was going through your head in overtime, man? The pick, not even just the pick. Let's start with the play that we thought ended it, but didn't end it. And then Alex Leatherwood getting a penalty, moving you back, the pick, the turnover, and then the touchdown. Like, take me through everything. Are you okay?
No. That was a crazy turn of events. I mean, getting the coin toss, just cleanly driving down the field. I'm starting to feel good. We get into the red zone, or not to the red zone, but we get to the Ravens side of the field. Lob one up for Bryan Edwards, who was an animal in like the fourth quarter and overtime.
Clutch, so that was cool. Clutch.
That was amazing. I've been waiting for his breakout, but he yard like half a yard short, and I'm like, okay, Josh Jacobs can punch it in. Carr can't punch it in. I'm like, okay, fine. You tried that. Try something else. Give it to Jacobs. Oh, give it to Ingold. I love Alec Ingold. Raiders fullback. And then Leatherwood, who I've been riding high for, and trying to vouch for and say he looked good in preseason, which he did. He just had a rough game, man. I mean, jumps, false start, 5 yards back, and then I don't know why Willie Sneed's there. I mean, that's a Darren Waller route. Like, that's.
I don't know what Darren was going on.
But I think that was Gruden just trying to outsmart everyone. They knew it was going to Waller. So, I mean, whatever. Off his helmet and then intercepted. And shout out Matthew on Twitter, man. He was like, you must be pretty happy right now. Just as Bryan Edwards was short. And then just as I read that notification, Derek Carr throws a pick. It's like, oh my god, dude, I'm
deleting. Oh yeah, you were a little behind in the game. That's right.
Yeah, I'm on like a streaming service, so yeah, it's not as fast paced. Yeah. Oh, and then, dude, Big Carl, what a legend! Stripping Lamar.
Carl Nassib, monster, pun, monster game.
Oh, when the Ravens got that first down, I was like, okay, they're either gonna win it or we're gonna tie, and didn't even have to right. worry about it.
Right. Oh, when Baltimore got the ball back, and when they especially got to that third down, and I think it was third and seven, I was like, if they don't get this, like, they're in their own territory, I believe. They might have to play for a tie in that situation, which would not have been fun for anybody. We would not be recording right now if there was a tie.
No, good teams don't start the season with a tie. You just don't. Like, I hate ties, man. We were talking about it in the group chat, but there has to be a change. It should not be able to end in a tie.
This NFL overtime rule is not it. Here's my solution, Grant. Start both teams at the 25. If you score, stop, you win. If you stop, score, you win. If both teams score or both teams don't score, we go to a kickoff. Tell me that wouldn't be sweet.
I mean, that would be sweet, but like, there's the, not the classic people, but the people that ride for OG football that still want targeting penalties and all, or want targeting penalties removed and all that, and they would not stand for a kickoff deciding something. I would love it. That would be so sick, but the Ravens would win every game, so, I mean, it would have to get to that point, but...
Hey, I mean, man.
Justin Tucker, you're pretty good.
Hey, but we don't have to worry about that right now. All you're worrying about is a big, juicy W.
Dude, I wish I could yell right now, but I have people sleeping in my house, so. But, dude, I just want to give a big, I'll get you tomorrow, but just big ol' Raiders. Dude, Derek Carr is something else. That's all I gotta say. I'm not pushing any agenda.
He
shows up when he needs to.
Man, I'm not even a Raiders fan, and I am a big time Derek Carr defender. He gets a lot of hate for no reason. They showed a stat during the game tonight. Derek Carr, second behind Matthew Stafford for the most fourth quarter comebacks since 2014. I believe that's the exact stat. I'm a Derek Carr defender, man. He showed out tonight. I love it. The Raiders.
It's about time he gets a nationally televised win.
Dude, Vegas was so rocking on national TV.
Dude, they showed out. I think they're going to get a ton of deals just for, like, years to come. Well, and they're going to be really good for years to come, hopefully. So they'll just be on ESPN a lot. But, dude, I think... some people are going to turn their heads to Derek Carr now. I think it's kind of like a, hey, he's not awful. Again, not saying he's great because that first half was, I mean, Waller and the Wallets, basically. It was the Darren Waller show.
It was so much going to Darren Waller.
Dude, he flipped a switch. That was amazing.
The Raiders are 1-0 to start the season. And Grant, I appreciate you for staying awake with me and taking time to record this little post game because people were wanting it. A few people were tweeting at me, oh, you better do something. I'm like, yeah, we got to do something. So, Grant, give me a little Raiders to end it off here.
Raiders.
Oh, boy. Ladies and gentlemen, now back to the originally scheduled program.
Weekend, like Tyler said, was incredible. I did have a kidney stone, so that... kind of gave me some time to gamble, like gave me some time to lock in my bets because we hit on a couple parlays and a couple straight up bets and we are up big this week. Thank you to a promotion on the Cowboys Bucks game. But we are thriving. This was a very much winning week. Yeah, man. I mean, college bets hit, NFL. We don't have to talk about the NFL, but we're still up big. Tony, how was your sports betting weekend?
Well, before we get into the sports betting, I do want to quickly ask you about your Vegas Raiders. I mean, again, we can't go too much into it because we're recording this on Monday night and it goes out on Tuesday. But it might be fun to kind of look back after the game and be like, oh, Grant's hopes were so high and the Raiders let him down. Or we could be like, Grant had such high hopes and he was so nervous and the Raiders pulled out an upset win. So it might be fun to revisit in a couple hours. So Grant, how are you really feeling before your Raiders start their season in a few minutes here at the time of recording?
Flamed or not, I'm going to be straight up. I think the Raiders win this game.
Oh, whoa. That's going to be fun to revisit. Maybe he'll be right. Maybe he'll be wrong. But Grant's feeling very confident. I love it, though. I love it.
I'm just saying, if the Packers can get throttled, can get throttled.
Hey, I got a little Packers comment to make later, but continue.
Look, last comment on the Raiders right now. Any given Monday, any given day.
Any given Monday.
Bounces in the right way, dude. I mean, you can't say the Raiders are – you can't say with certainty the Raiders are not going to win this game.
Hey, the line is pretty close. I mean, it's what, +3.5 for the Raiders last time I checked? It's close.
Considering when it started, it was a touchdown. So, I mean, that doesn't mean anything. Just friendly reminder, that means nothing.
Right.
That means absolutely nothing. But it's good to see that I'm not the only person that thinks the Raiders at least keep it close, if not win.
Hey, it's going to be a fun game, though. I can't wait to see what happens. I can't wait to revisit this after the game. And I'll be like, oh, either Grant was right or he was wrong. That's going to be fun to revisit later. But as for my sports betting, really quickly, just like Grant, it was a major winning week, a bounce back winning week for me. The football bets were great to me this weekend. Not the NFL bets on Sunday. That was low-key a disaster. But college football Saturday was great. Bucks +73 on Thursday. Thank you, DraftKings. It was a big-time winning week for me, a bounce back week. After a loss 2 weeks ago, we're feeling good going to the new week, so let's get it. Gentlemen, good to have everyone in here. Eli has also joined us. How are you today, Eli?
I am exhausted, Tony.
Oh,
it was probably the most busy day of work I've had so far. It was just non-stop patients coming in and me running around, but I'm here now.
Well, thank you for joining us, and let's wake you up with some football talk, huh? We're going to talk Lions. We're going to talk Stafford. We're going to talk Mac. We're going to talk Jameis. We're going to talk Bucks. We're going to talk Michigan. We're going to talk Michigan State. And we're going to do it in a short amount of time before the Raiders kick off soon. So let's get right into it. Let's begin with the Lions' Week 1 loss to the San Francisco 49ers. For a majority of that game, it went pretty much as expected for me personally. It was a Super Bowl contender in San Francisco, dominating a rebuilding Lions team. There were some fun moments early in the game for the Lions, sure, but San Francisco was absolutely dominating the Lions for a good majority of the game. But I will say that I loved the fight from the Lions late, and I think that might be the biggest storyline for me coming out of that loss. They came up short and still lost a football game at the end of the day, but I enjoyed seeing the Lions fight back in that game. It was 41-17 San Francisco with about 2 minutes left. They could have rolled over and said, okay, let's just get out of here. We lost. Let's just move on to the next one. But they didn't do that. They didn't quit on Dan Campbell, which I think does mean something. It means that they want to play for Dan, which is something we could not say about the last head coach we had here. In a game like yesterday, again, 41-17 with 2 minutes left, in a game like yesterday, the players would have quit on the previous coach. Easily. But they didn't quit on this one. That's an encouraging sign for Dan Campbell. In his first game as Lions head coach, in a situation like that, the team didn't quit on him. They kept on fighting until the final whistle. And I loved that fight. Though it resulted in a loss still. But other than that, some of the positives I had for the Lions yesterday included Penei Sewell, left tackle. I thought he did an outstanding job against Nick Bosa, one of the best young defensive players in the entire NFL. Penei did a fantastic job in his first career NFL game and his first football game period in a year or however long it's been since he's last played. Penei was great. The entire offensive line, especially in the run game, I thought was good as well. Speaking of the run game, DeAndre Swift, Jamal Williams, they were both fantastic on Sunday. Not only on the ground, but through the air as well. I liked seeing how much of a threat both of them were in more aspect than one on the offense. TJ Hockenson, big game for him, kind of expected. And then the last positive I'll quickly mention here, Anthony Lynn. I thought he called a good game, honestly, on Sunday. I really did. I was impressed with how Anthony Lynn called the offense on Sunday. Going into the negatives, first of all, defensively, not the best game for the Lions, which I tweeted during the game on Sunday. I don't blame coaching for that. Like, I'm not mad at our new defensive coordinator, Aaron Glenn, for the defense struggling on Sunday. I think that's just a matter of we need Brad Holmes to get more of his guys in here on that defense, because there's still a good amount of players on this current defense that came here from the previous regime. Regardless, though, the defense wasn't exactly great on Sunday. The Jeff Okuda injury just absolutely sucks. Everybody knows I'm a Jeff Okuda defender. Though he didn't have a great rookie season last year, I still defended him because it was a bad scheme. He had a bad head coach. And coming into this year, the reports coming out of camp was that Jeff was looking great. He was emerging as a leader in the young secondary. See him go down after the first game of the season. I mean, he's out for the entire year. It sucks. I really feel for the guy, and it's a big loss for the Lions too. My last negative, and I'll send it to the other gentleman. I wasn't really impressed with Jared Goff on Sunday. there were a lot of throws that Jared made where I was just like, oh, that's just not a good throw. A lot of underthrows, a lot of overthrows, a lot of short throws as well. I just wasn't impressed with Jared Goff on Sunday. And I hate to criticize Jared Goff too, because I've said it on this podcast before, I don't think he's really being put into a great situation this year because of the supporting cast around him on the offense, especially a wide receiver. But still, you want my thoughts on Jared Goff on Sunday? I wasn't really impressed. Nonetheless, though, overall, as I've said on the program before in previous weeks, wins and losses really don't mean much to me this season for the Lions. I'm not mad at this loss. I'm really not. I'm more focused on how some of the players and coaches performed, how the offense and defense looked as well. And there are some performances for the Lions on Sunday that I was encouraged with, and not very encouraged with. But now it's on to week two in Green Bay on Monday Night Football against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers team that really didn't look like they cared about football on Sunday. I don't know. we'll see what happens on Monday night. The Packers didn't exactly look great, but that's neither here or there. But anyway, we'll see. I want to get the other gentleman in here to talk about the Lions' Week 1 loss as well. And I want to start with Tyler. Talk to me, Tyler. I know that you were at the game on Sunday. How was the atmosphere in Ford Field, the first game back with fans? And how are you feeling about Sunday's performance from the Lions?
Very quickly, the atmosphere at Ford Field. I mean, it was good, but I will say this, a lot of 49er fans. It was a lot of red. It was a
sea of red. A lot of red in the stands.
And yeah. I'm not going to lie, man. Like, they were a very passionate fan base. Didn't really give many opportunities for the Lions to get into the game. And obviously how the game played out itself, you know, until the last 2 minutes of the game where, I mean, a lot of Lions fans left by that point. I mean, it was controlled by Niners fans. I'm not going to lie. Like, Lions showed up, but like the Niners really showed up. So I'm gonna give credit to the Niners. And I think really quickly comparing just the weekend, because I went to the Michigan game too on Saturday, comparing that to Sunday, like, you know, it was completely different. So a lot of Niners fans, but the atmosphere was good. I mean, it was fun. You know, I'm not gonna lie, I've seen better atmosphere for Lions games. It wasn't one of the greatest atmospheres I've seen, but it was cool to, you know, obviously be back full capacity and have the fans back in the building. But, you know, the game itself, I thought you hit it really on the nail. You know, you saw some good performances, you saw some bad performances, but even in that game, you're seeing progress towards better. And that's what we've been saying all offseason, what we want to see in these games, you know, just the whole season, like just get better week in and week out. And we saw in one game alone, them just getting better from the first quarter to the second quarter to the third quarter, whatever. You know, you saw some really, you know, bright stuff. I thought Penei Sewell, his first career start playing at left tackle, that was a tough task. You know, he's been preparing to play right tackle all offseason since being drafted by the Lions. And 3 days before game day, they find out Taylor Decker is not going to suit up for game day, and he's going to be out for a month, and they say, Panay, you're going to play left tackle. And he hasn't played left tackle since 2019. And his first task in the NFL was go against Nick Bosa. And I thought he did a really good job. So that was really encouraging. And really quickly on Jared Goff, I agree with you. I just wasn't a really big fan of what he showed me on Sunday. You know, obviously the stat line looks really good for Jared Goff.
The numbers look good, yeah.
Of what he did towards the end of the game. But it just wasn't a great performance. Like, he wasn't very accurate. He was undershooting his guys. He was overshooting his guys. He was putting his receivers and running backs in very tough positions too, where he was placing the ball. Like, that's going to get your guys injured. And we saw one injury to the receiving core with Terrell Williams. And he was just getting his guys in tough situations. Trinity Benson at some point got hurt during that game. He ended up coming back. But, you know, as the season progresses and Goff continues to do stuff like that, like, that's just not good. You're going to get your guys hurt. And it just wasn't something positive in that game. But overall, I mean, they made a nice comeback towards the end, just came up short. Making it that close at the end was just something, and having an opportunity to at least tie it up, you know, having the ball on the last drive. You know, I give credit to the Lions for doing that. I mean, they got some help, obviously, Debo fumbling the ball. Like, they had some help throughout the game. But, you know, I don't think many people expected this team to be very good. This was a bad matchup for the Lions. But there was some positives. There's obviously some negatives during this game. But, you know, it is what it is.
I mean, like I said, to start the Lions topic, it kind of went exactly how I thought it was going to go until that, like, last couple minute comeback attempt for the Lions. Yeah. San Francisco dominated. It was a Super Bowl contending team in San Francisco beating up a rebuilding Lions team. It was going as expected for me. I mean, when it was 41-17 early in the fourth quarter, I was like, yeah. Like, there's some people talk about, oh, Patricia started this bad too. Oh, what a coincidence. It's like, okay, this is kind of two different things. Like, Patricia's debut was against the rebuilding Jets at the time, who was starting a rookie quarterback as well, his first career game. Meanwhile, for Dan Campbell's first game, we are the rebuilding team facing a Super Bowl contender. Like, kind of two different circumstances here, you know?
Yeah. No, it kind of felt like it at some point, though. It's like, wow, this kind of feels like the Jets game, the way they were getting blown out. But I wouldn't say that's how it's going to go with the Dan Campbell era. It just, I don't know. Like, when I saw the Niners fans taking over, kind of, I'm like, oh my God, this is getting bad, dude.
There was not one point in that game where I was like, oh, this feels like the Jets game. The Jets game, I legit wanted to throw my remote at the TV. I never felt like this, because I know it goes back to what I've been saying throughout the past few weeks on the program and on Twitter. Like, I don't have any expectations for the year.
You just don't have standards for the team right now. There's not really much expectations. No. And that, you're right. Like, going into the Patricia era, obviously, that was supposed to be the next step of
expectations were through the roof,
because Caldwell, you know, gave you a good bridge team, and you were supposed to take that team to the Super Bowl contending team, which obviously didn't happen.
Yeah, Tyler, I agree with a lot of the points that you brought up there. Grant, I want to end the Lions talk with you here. As a non-Lions fan, as you get ready for your Vegas Raiders to kick off their season at the time of recording this, non-Lions fan, what did you think about the Lions week one performance on Sunday?
I'm going to blow through the things that have kind of already been touched on and then get to my last point. But Penei Sewell's a dog. I hope I pronounced that right. I heard Tyler.
Penei Sewell. Penei Sewell.
Penei. But either way, Penei Sewell is
Penei
an absolute
Sewell, Tyler,
dog.
Right?
Penei Sewell, right? Yes.
Penei.
Cool.
Right, I used to think it was Penei Sewell in college, but it's Penei Sewell.
I've been saying it like Penei, like the pasta. But
exactly.
All right. Anyway, as probably one of the bigger Jared Goff defenders on this podcast.
The biggest.
Very disappointing. very disappointing show. You can't blame his talent around him when he's overthrowing guys by 10-plus yards. I mean, it doesn't matter who's out there. If I'm out there, let me be able to catch the ball. And he didn't do that well enough. And like Tyler mentioned, a lot of hospital passes, man. Just making guys reach out over the middle. Like, 10 years ago, multiple Lions wide receivers would have been sent to the hospital because of those passes. But now we have things that can protect wide receivers and kind of kept them safe. But there were a couple times where he threw the ball, and it might have been Swift that I can remember the most on like a comeback out of the backfield where he just kind of hung him out to dry, man. And that terrifies me. But yeah, just all in all, Jared Goff, he's got better in him. I know that. But it became a little more difficult to defend him. But just all in all, the energy, like at the end of the game, getting absolutely throttled with 3 minutes left, under the last regime, they don't fight back.
They don't.
They sit down.
No.
They call it a day. The Lions would not have fought back. Mm-mm. And now you can tell there's some fight. There's some chippiness. Mm-hmm. Guys are getting after it till the end of the game. Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, Kittle probably should have had that onside kick, and Deebo Samuel probably shouldn't have fumbled, but it wasn't like he did it on accident. That got punched out. Forgive me, I don't know the name, but...
Trey Flowers punched it out.
Thank you, Trey Flowers. Trey Flowers punching it out, I mean, that just shows that they could have tackled him first down, run out more of the clock, but Trey Flowers is still getting after it. Everybody's diving on that ball. They wanted to win till the end of the game, and that is what you have to build with a rebuilding team. You have to build that fight, and the Lions did. No one expected them to win this game. I don't think anybody picked them. I think this was like a no-brainer. No one expected them to win, and they came out and they said, "Hey, we're gonna try till the end," and that was inspiring to like. I was at my cousin's house. We were about to play some cornhole, and it was just like, hey, man, let's just watch the end of this game. And all of a sudden, things start falling in the right direction. And I don't know. It was exciting to see a team that knows they have no business winning coming that close to winning.
Listen, like I said, I thought it was a really encouraging sign for Dan Campbell to have his players not quit on him in that situation because – as Grant just said, as I said, as Tyler said, as we're all saying, the previous regime, the players would have quit in that situation. There is evidence in the past of that happening. There's a lot of examples of previous regime teams noticeably quitting on that coaching staff, but not in this situation. The players fought for Campbell until the end, and though they lost, I still absolutely loved that fight. I'm very happy to sit here today talking about a 41-33 loss in which they tried to make a comeback at the end rather than a 41-17 loss where it's like, well, that sucked, and they quit at the end, you know?
Not to mention they covered as well.
I don't think anyone picked them to cover. You said I don't think anyone picked them to win. I was about to come in and say I don't think anyone picked them to cover.
It was a big spread too, what, 8.5, 9.5?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I got it at 9, and
I got it at 7.5. Thankfully,
I felt so comfortable about that 9.
I got it at 7.5. Thank goodness. But speaking of spreads, though, to wrap up week one here, as we've mentioned over the past few minutes, there's some good, there's some bad. But at the end of the day, wins and losses really don't matter for this team as much as player performance, offensive and defensive performance, and coaching performance too. And at the end of the day, I was happy with the week one game for the Lions, even if it resulted in a loss. Moving on to week two, Grant, Tyler, I don't think I have the kahunas to do it right now. Maybe that changes later in the week. But am I crazy to be thinking about possibly taking Lions plus 10.5 in Green Bay next Monday night?
Yes.
I think Rodgers is going to be pissed off this week. And coming back to Lambeau on Monday night on national TV, I think it could get ugly.
Yeah, I think it could. I think it could get ugly for the Packers. He did not look like he cared on Sunday. He did not look like he cared. And there's a conspiracy theory going around. I could be completely wrong that he's doing this to sabotage the Packers. Which after that performance, it's like, geez, that might not be a bad take. Because, dude, the Packers looked like they didn't care. Aaron looked like he did not care. He was making throws in that game where I literally sat back and I'm like, I've never seen Aaron Rodgers do that. Like, one of the interceptions in the red zone, I believe he was trying to go to the Devontae.
Yeah, I know that play.
He never makes those throws. And I'm like, what? what is going on?
He was like late, like he escaped the pocket when he would have just regularly sat there and made the, you know, wait for Devontae to run the route and then just completed his way.
Man, I'm not saying the Lions win the game, but
that would be a hell of a first win for Dan Campbell and his regime. And his
I would pass out. I would pass out.
Monday
man.
Night Football versus the Packers.
In Lambeau. Oh, and then, you know, the storyline after the game would be, okay, the Packers are really effed. And that would just be a chef's kiss. Like, we would be the reason that the Packers are on fire.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Like, yeah, like, you know, like, we've beat the Packers in the past, but, like, on Monday Night Football, too. But that was, like, with DeShone Kizer. Like, it would be something if we beat him with Aaron Rodgers. And to start off with the new staff, like, obviously people are excited with this new regime. It would be something to kind of get. It would be not to go back in the past. But it was kind of like Patricia's first win. Remember Sunday Night Football versus the Patriots?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was just sweet. Like, admit it or not, like, we hate Patricia now, but, like, that was just sweet to get the regime going. Like, that was their first win.
Sure. That was a really good first win.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like that would be really cool for Campbell if he could win his first game versus the Packers on Monday Night Football.
Listen, I'm not saying they win the game, but even though I don't think I have the kahunas to actually do this, 10.5 for a Lions team that just showed some heart. And they're playing a Packers team that showed, or that looked like they did not care. I don't know.
Tony, you might talk me into this, man. I'm starting to lean your way.
Hey!
But, I just want to say the path to the lead in the NFC North could come down to this Monday Night Football game.
The NFC North is terrible, dude. The Vikings, oh, they looked great against the Bengals. Matthew Stafford, we'll talk about him in a second here. Oh, the Bears. Andy Dalton didn't play as bad as I thought, but now their defense kind of got exposed a little bit by our boy number 9. And then, obviously, Green Bay and the Lions, we just went over that whole story. I don't know. I think the Lions might have a better shot in this game than people think. The line is already falling. It started at plus 11 for the Lions, and now it's already down to 10.5. So people, they might be seeing the same thing I am. I don't know. I could be wrong, and next week we're talking about a blowout loss in Green Bay. Who knows? But nonetheless, that's enough Lions talk for today. Moving on, let's go around the rest of the NFL really quickly. I have a question for the other three gentlemen that did not get involved in the Lions segment. And each question I have for them involves a different team or player. I want to start with Eli and Mike. Give me your thoughts on Matthew Stafford's big Los Angeles Rams debut on Sunday Night Football and their win over the Bears. Talk to me.
I'll go first. Matthew Stafford had the highest QB rating, passer rating, whatever he had, highest in his career in that game. And isn't it just beautiful that Matthew Stafford can blow out a team and make it look so easy on 26 passes? I mean, I can't remember the last time Matthew Stafford won a game easily throwing under 30 passes. Like, it's just unbelievable the amount of help he has. He's in the toughest division in football. I don't think there's any question about that. But, man, they looked dominant. I mean, the Bears are not good at all, but, like, the Rams couldn't even get their running game going, and Stafford was finding people.
Stafford beat him with his arm.
Man, he really, oh, God, second play of the game, he just fires it downfield for, like, a 70-yard touchdown, and it's just, like, and the, you know, social media is going crazy. They're like, oh. And I think Collinsworth said, "I never knew Stafford was this good." Yeah, okay.
He did that on Thursday night.
That's beyond me. I'm so happy for Matthew Stafford. I'm honestly thinking about buying a Stafford shirt jersey.
Oh.
For the Rams.
Eli, I thought you were just out on Stafford.
He was.
Rams
He's such
like
a flip flopper. He's such a flip flopper, man.
No,
He's
no,
such
I wasn't.
A flip flopper. Yeah, I wasn't.
You're
such, stop it.
This is the Eli I remember from like March and or
no
yeah,
you
March
didn't let
April.
You're not letting me finish, Tyler.
Okay,
you're not letting
ahead.
Me finish.
Go ahead.
Man, the Rams are in the toughest division in football, man.
Oh, okay,
they're not gonna be doing anything, but it's good to see Stafford doing well, even though, you know, there's something bad's gonna happen, but it's fine.
You're done talking. I've had enough of you. Mike.
I expected good things from Stafford in LA.
But, man, I didn't expect it to start that good. I mean, hit that bomb at the beginning of the game, I lost it.
I flipped out of my chair.
Oh, my goodness. I was so happy. I'm so happy for him.
I'm ruining my butt off for Stafford in L.A.
I wish that team to be healthy, man. I just wish that team to be healthy. I want them to do something, man.
I'm rooting my butt off for Matthew Stafford in L.A. I'm a proud Lions fan and a proud Matthew Stafford fan. I'm rooting for both. I understand we have the Rams pick, and it would be better if the Rams lost, but I trust Brad Holmes to make a good pick with that Rams selection regardless. I need Matthew Stafford to win. I would feel good watching Matthew Stafford win, so I can go to the doubters and the haters and be like, I told you so. I told you he's not a bum like you were telling me for the past number of years when he was in Detroit. We're off to a good start in L.A. I loved that win on Sunday night. I absolutely loved it. Eli, very quickly, another play I want to ask you about. Jameis Winston, your boy.
Man, five touchdowns. Kept telling people, man, LASIK eye surgery made that man a god. Hey. He is a god among men. Aaron Rodgers is a man. Jameis Winston is a god.
Did you see his post-game interview? Him.
I did. He's legendary. The most unintentionally funny player.
He just told us to be ready.
Man, we came out prepared, and you know our trainer told us. What did he tell us? He told us to come out prepared.
Oh, that was great. I was watching that game. I saw one touchdown, two touchdowns, three touchdowns, four touchdowns, five touchdowns. Man, I'm like, wow!
Listen, this might be a hot take, and you can leave me with this.
Oh, boy.
But Jameis Winston might have been better last year than Drew Brees was if they had gone with him. I mean, Drew Brees said it himself.
I don't think he's totally offline, honestly.
Drew Brees said it. He's like, maybe that's what the Saints were missing last year.
Well, because Drew couldn't throw downfield anymore.
Yeah, Jameis can. And he can see now.
Yeah, I don't think he's totally offline. I didn't think he was totally offline when, like, I saw a tweet one time in the offseason. Like, I'd rather have Jameis Winston on my team right now than Jared Goff. Like, I believe that in the offseason.
Oh, I agree with that. I agree with that.
Yeah, but, like, if you said that in the offseason, and I'm not sure you even have this week one overreaction right now, but, like, I think a lot of people would, like, think you're crazy if you said that.
I think Lion fans would be mad at you if you tweeted right now you'd rather have Jameis, but just know I agree with you. I'd rather have Jameis.
Yeah.
Jameis can at least throw more than 20 yards.
And it's not even about, like, just throwing the ball deep. Like, obviously, Winston was, like, a 30-for-30 machine. Like,
it is for me.
Yeah, like, obviously, he threw 30-for-30 one season. Like, that's terrible. He threw 30 interceptions in one season. But, I mean, I'm excited to see what you can do with Sean Payton, man. I think Sean Payton could do some wonders with him.
This isn't fair for Jared, but I'm used to my quarterback throwing darts down the field. I need my quarterback to at least hit a few of them.
No, for sure. No, that's what you want in a quarterback too. It's not, I mean, Jared Goff is what he is. He's like, he's not terrible. He's not great. And like, I can't even put it like on his team because, you know, the whole excuse was this offseason, like, oh, he doesn't have receivers. His O-line is going to be, you know, gelling together. Taylor Decker's out. His offensive line gave him time pretty much all day yesterday.
Yeah.
And I know the TV probably couldn't pick it up, but like his receivers were open a lot of times in that game because the Niners corners are not that great.
There was one throw in the red zone. He had Amon-Ra St. Brown wide open. He missed him. I'm like, oh, Jared. That was terrible, dude. I'm like, oh, Jared, is this what we're doing this year? Oh.
Like I saw Terrell deep a couple times where one-on-one. I mean, Terrell Williams is 6'3". Give him a shot versus a small corner. There was multiple times during that game where I'm like, you know, come on, man. Just take a shot.
Well.
And he saw it, too. He's reading it. He goes, I'll swing it out to Jamal Williams for a four-yard gain instead. TJ Hockenson, sweet. Here, I'll throw you out.
Because he can't go that deep. Whatever. We're done talking, Jared Goff. Yeah,
move topics.
Jameis Winston, he can see now. And Eli was on top of that for a while. So 1 point for Eli. He got that one correct. Mike, you want to talk about Mac Jones's NFL debut really quickly? Though the Patriots lost, Mac still played well.
The Patriots are a loser, but Mac is a winner.
Hey. Mac looked good, actually. He looked good. And I liked his attitude as well. I was watching Good Morning Football on the NFL Network on Monday morning, and they were doing like their little highlight package like they always do. And apparently, after Mac threw his first touchdown, someone was trying to give him the ball because, like, hey, you just threw your first touchdown. Here's the ball. And Mac was like, no, I don't want it. I'm trying to win this game. And I'm like, if that's true, I've gained some respect for Mac there. Like, I like that mentality. Don't give me that. I'm trying to win this game. I like that. So, though the Patriots lost, Mike's boy Mac played well. I was impressed with him. I mean, the Patriots lost that game more because Brian Flores is just an unbelievably good head coach. But still, Mac played very well. I was impressed with him. Final NFL topic here. Jay, you can quickly talk about your Bucks if you want. Ugh.
I just think the energy here is a little negative, but go Bucks. Oh. You know, it was actually, you know what? No, not that. Good game for the Rams, you know. I like seeing number 9 out there.
I offered him Tom Brady and the Bucks, and he goes to the Rams. Mm.
Bro, I was actually, I liked watching him play. He looked like he was having
fun. Is someone scared that someone else is coming for that NFC crown?
Never scared. I'm just giving, you know, QB9 some love, you know.
Okay, I appreciate that. But Stafford is coming.
That's nice. The Bucks game was a little, you know, shaky. I think the Cowboys blew it. A little help from the refs, maybe. I don't know. That kicker missed like 2 field goals, I think, or something like that.
Missed a lot.
Go Bucks. You know, we'll see those Rams soon, you know. Not worried. Actually, Godwin screwed my fantasy team up this week, so, you know, he's done. But other than that, go Bucks.
Did you bench him?
No, he was starting.
Oh.
And he was doing good until, like, he fumbled the ball.
Oh, that's right. He had that fumble in the fourth quarter. That's right.
Terrible fumble.
I thought you benched him.
Oh. No, I pitched him over CeeDee Lamb.
Well, speaking of fantasy, how'd that go, Tyler?
Hey, Tony, Tyler, honestly, you guys know you're allowed to score more than 100 points, right?
We're in a four-man league. It was kind of embarrassing that we didn't even score 100. I mean,
thank you, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I'm in a very close fantasy matchup right now. I won Russ and Tyler Lockett Cook for one of my other leagues, so. You know, I'll take a loss in a four-man league.
Dak and Amari came up clutch for me in one of my other leagues. But for our Trash Talk League, Grant, air high five. Week one winners, baby.
I think my bench scored so many points in that league, in that four-man league. I just want to check really quickly. Swift 20, Keaton, and Kyler Murray 37 on the bench. God.
all I know about my league is that, or our league, is that Patrick Mahomes went off, and that's all I care about. He finally got Patrick, and he pops off week one. I love it. But moving on to our final topic for today very quickly, Michigan State. Both 2-0 on the new season. Michigan got a home win against Washington Saturday night in the Big House, while Michigan State beat Youngstown State in their home opener on Saturday afternoon. Honestly, both teams did exactly what I thought they were going to do and they were supposed to do, and that's beat teams that they are way better than. For Michigan, Washington is awful. I tried to tell you last week, like, I had some Michigan fans like, oh, I don't know, that I feel like Washington might be angry because they just lost to Montana. I'm like, no, Washington's bad. Like, you're going to win this football game. Washington is awful, especially offensively. Aiden Hutchinson had a monster game, and overall, I was impressed with the Michigan defense, so they played a bad offense. I wasn't really impressed with the offensive performance for Michigan like I was the defensive performance, but you still got the win. As for Michigan State, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. This offense has been fun throughout the first 2 weeks. I get they played two bad opponents, but the offense has started the season with back-to-back games with 500-plus total yards. I like that. I like it a lot. Peyton Thorne looked good on Saturday. 5 total touchdowns for him, 4 through the air, 1 on the ground. Very encouraging start to the season for Michigan State, and it's an encouraging first 2 games going into a big matchup in Miami. Win that game, Michigan State, And I think we might have to start having a conversation about Michigan State cracking the top 25, which I never thought I'd say this year. But that's where we are now. We'll have to see on Saturday against Miami. Those are my thoughts on Michigan, Michigan State. Tyler, you mentioned it was your first time at the Big House. You could talk about that, and you could talk about Michigan's win as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely phenomenal. Ann Arbor was – it was so fun, man. It was just an unbelievable atmosphere. Never been to a sporting event ever compared to that, honestly. I mean, it was phenomenal. I've been to multiple sporting events. Like, nothing compares to it. I mean, that was phenomenal.
That was your first game, right?
First college game ever, like anywhere. So, I mean, that was just fun, man. Standing on the bleachers in the student section the whole game, like, that was crazy. So fun. It was a maze out, too. And, you know, I think, you know, to go to the game really quickly, too, you mentioned Jim Harbaugh really just trying to establish a run, not really, you know, passing the ball too much. I believe had under 60 passing yards by McNair, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. It wasn't very much. But, I mean, they just did what Washington's weakness was. I mean, they couldn't stop the run. And, you know, you got to give credit to Gattis and Harbaugh. I mean, they were just taking what was given to them. I mean, why are you going to try to force something if they're not going to stop what you're doing well? Like, if they're stopping the run, okay, then you open up the playbook and you're going to start passing the ball more. But just kind of like what, you know, going to an NFL game. Like, remember the NFC Championship 2 years ago when the Niners played the Packers? Jimmy Garoppolo, I think, threw the ball 12 times. Why is Shanahan going to switch up the offense when Raheem Mostert is running all over the Packers defense? You got to just take what's given to you. And I think at some point during the season, like, I'm not saying this Michigan passing game is going to get going, but because we haven't seen it really. But, you know, I think they'll establish it more this week when they play, I believe it's Northern Illinois, I think they play this Saturday.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Rocky's coming back.
Yeah. Oh, Rocky Lombardi, yes.
Cade McNamara, by the way, had 44 passing yards.
Yeah, I know it wasn't very much. So I expect him to get more of a passing game going this week, obviously, and open up the playbook a little bit, obviously, because you got Wisconsin, and then you're going to have the bigger games. Because, you know, when you start playing teams like Ohio State and, you know, when you start to get more of those Big Ten games, even Michigan State, you can't do what you did versus Washington and Western Michigan. So I expect him to start opening up the playbook a little bit more. But right now, I'm just going to take it for what it is. We'll go week by week. And if it's a problem then, okay, we'll talk about it. But for right now, I'm giving credit to Harbaugh. I'm giving credit to Josh Gattis and, you know, the new defensive staff, because they're doing what they're, you know, supposed to do in these first 2 weeks, and they're taking what's given to them. I mean, they've blown out both their opponents, and Western Michigan was expected. Washington, you said it was expected, but, like, that was a team that was ranked going into the season, and they killed them on Saturday night. So, I mean, I'm not going to overreact and say Michigan's a great team or anything like that.
No,
but
no.
We're going to take it week by week. We'll see how it goes. But so far, encouraging stuff from both teams, from Michigan and Michigan State. Like you said, they've done what they're supposed to do.
Hey, you want to end us on a good note to talk about your Michigan State Spartans?
I didn't get to watch the game, unfortunately. Oh. But I saw some nice moments, some highlights. I was keeping up with Twitter, too. But, I mean, Michigan State, man. I mean, I don't know anything about Youngstown, Ohio and their college football team, but...
Oh, Grant knows about Youngstown State, right? The Penguins.
I love the Penguins, but they they don't love Oakland University, man.
Grant, I'm sorry for what you're about to see. I'm just giving you a warning.
Shut up, Mike. You know I'm
delayed. They're talking about Monday Night Football.
God.
I have something to say. Tony, how many yards did Cade have? Cade
44. He had 44 passing.
You know, that kind of reminds me of future Jeopardy host Aaron Rodgers' Week 1 game.
He only had 44 passing yards?
No. Rodgers had like 120.
I was about to say, I think he had more unless I'm just like losing my mind.
No, but if you like translate it to the NFL and then you realize that it's Aaron Rodgers. I was going to ask, by the way, do any of you have them in your fantasy league that you guys have?
Packers?
Have Aaron Rodgers.
No, I don't have Aaron Rodgers.
I mean,
I
there's
Devontae.
Only the four-man league, so, I mean.
Because I was curious how many points he had.
He had one.
I think
one.
It was 1 point.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
A lot of people on TikTok were roasting Aaron for his fantasy performance, and a lot of people had one solid point from Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was 1 point.
No, hey, not my really. Problem. Lions, Lions plus 10.5 on Monday night. Let's go. Woohoo! And with that, I think that's a good way to wrap up today's show. Thank you all for listening this week. For my entire crew, my name is Tony Nebrowski. Thank you all for listening. We'll catch you all next week.